Good morning. You're listening to Radio Zine here on KBOO Community Radio. Today we're talking with Mwezi Odom, the Uhuru campaign chair. We're going to be talking today about the Black People's March and Rally in Los Angeles that's taking place on November 2nd to raise awareness for the Uhuru 3. Mwezi, welcome to KBOO.
Thank you so much, Emma, and to your listeners. I just want to appreciate this opportunity to join with everyone to mobilize for what's to come.
Mwezi, so first of all, can you just tell us who you are, and then let's talk about the event coming up, and tell us about the Uhuru 3.
Great, sounds good. Thank you so much. Well, my name is Mwezi Odom. I'm a member of the Uhuru Movement, which is a global, movement of, people who are fighting for freedom. And Uhuru is actually a Swahili word, which comes from the Kenyan Land and Freedom Army when the Kenyans were fighting against British colonialism. Uhuru and freedom was the rallying call. And so this movement is founded by the African People's Socialist Party, of which I am a member. And my current role is to serve as the chairperson of the Hands Off Uhuru, Hands Off Africa counteroffensive that was formed following the July 29 attacks, FBI and US government attacks on the African People's Socialist Party. And so that is, who I am, and I'm here to speak on behalf of one of the most important campaigns right now, which is the campaign to drop the charges and to free the Uhuru 3, which I know we'll have a chance to talk about more.
Thank you. And you have an event coming up to raise awareness about it. Why don't you tell us about it now, and then we'll remind everybody again at the end of the interview.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Yes, so on November 2nd, and this is a mobilization that is taking place in two cities here within the United States, and also with mobilizations taking place globally as well. This is the Black Is Back Coalition for Social Justice, Peace, and Reparations. They will be holding their 16th annual Black People's March on the White House in Washington, D.C., and a West Coast March will also be held here in Los Angeles for its second year on November 2nd. The march on November 2nd here in Los Angeles, which is on the West Coast, so we're really excited to speak to listeners who can possibly attend this really exciting mobilizing march and rally, will be taking place at the corner of Crenshaw and MLK Boulevard and marching to Africatown in Leimert Park. And the mobilization in Washington, D.C. will also comprise of a similar rally and march. This is a chance to, recognize that Black people unite with these demands just as we unite with the right to be free and organized. And part of this march is to have organizations and individuals who want to unite with any of those struggles to join speakers. And on November 3rd, which is the Sunday, will be a virtual conference. And people can learn more about this at blackpeoplesmarch.com. You can register for the LA mobilization or the DC mobilization as well. And this conference on day three will feature speakers like Scott Ritter and other leaders in the reparations and political prisoners and other movements that are, committed to building a united front of the people. Who are oppressed and those who stand in unity with the people's right to organize and to not have our ability and the right to organize be seen as a conspiracy by the US government, but for us to understand that this is our opportunity to continue to build power in the hands of the people. So that's just a little taste of what the Black People's March will bring. And we want to really call on the people to join in this struggle. 2 years going on here in LA, make this a really strong, powerful mobilization. And if you can get to Washington, D.C., get to Washington, D.C., and mobilize on the ground with this historic march.
So we've also been joined today by Matsumela Odom, the international president of the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement. Matsumela, welcome to KBOO.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. And
Uhuru.
Matsumela, we just heard Mwezi tell us about the upcoming march and rally in Los Angeles on November 2nd. We'd love to hear about you, Matsumela, what and your role within the Uhuru movement.
Yeah, Uhuru. As noted in the bio, I'm the international president of the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement. The International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement is a mass organization of the Uhuru Movement that organizes in defense of the democratic rights of African people, Black people around the world. We're located in Africa, in Europe, in the Caribbean, throughout North America, and like something like over 20 states here in North America. We're formed in 1991. The first president was the widow of Fred Hampton, Akua and Jerry, and you know we've been striving for 33 years since then. You know, so we take up a lot of different mass campaigns around them, and around education, as healthcare, you know, police brutality, mass imprisonment, mass incarceration, whatever you can think of that really sort of represents the way through which Black people, African people have been, you know, pushed out of political life. We organize into campaigns in defense of those as a way to, you know, bring people back into political life. You know, we are governed by our platform called the Revolutionary National Democratic Program. It's 77 points of what I think we can even call applied African internationalism, the way through which we work in mass defense of the African community, really, like I said, on a mass everyday level, getting out there in the community and defending people around, like I said, a wide scale of campaigns. One of our main campaigns is the African Starts Genocide Campaign, and that's the campaign that came under attack by the United States government, you know. And we could say more about that. It was organized in 2015 in response to the murder of Mike Brown, as well as three young Black girls in Pinellas County, Florida, as well as the water crisis in Flint. Those are like the three main things really leading it. And the campaign was to charge the U.S. with genocide, you know, and we received something like 130,000 signatures on our petition. Everyday people throughout the United States and even around the world who united with our campaign. You know, it was really an important and historic campaign, as it called upon the legacy of a campaign from the 1950s called We Charge Genocide. But in many ways, it went even further in the sense that it incorporated, you know, everyday people. 130,000 people came out in support of the African Starts Genocide Campaign. So that's some of the work that we do with the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement. We're headquartered in St. Louis. I'm currently located in California, but the headquarters of our organization is in St. Louis.
And recently, there were two events that made international news regarding the Uhuru movement. The first one was Hands Off Uhuru, when your houses were raided. And if somebody could talk about that. And then most recently, on September 12th, three members of the Uhuru 3 were convicted of a lesser charge in a federal jury trial, and they're awaiting sentencing. So I'd love it if either one of you, Mwezi or Smela, could talk about those two campaigns.
Uhuru, thank you so much, Emma. And yes, I can speak to the Uhuru, you know, the Hands Off Uhuru, Hands Off Africa campaign. And this is a counteroffensive, a campaign that was initiated following the July 29, 2022, so over 2 years ago now, FBI, you know, raids. So the FBI and the Department of Justice carried out violent military-style raids on 7 homes and offices of the Uhuru Movement and the African People's Socialist Party in 2022, as I said. And, you know, the U.S. government, it took them really 9 months, actually, to indict Chairman Amalia Shetela and 2 white solidarity organizers who work under the Uhuru Movement's leadership. This is Comrades Penny Hess and Jesse Neville, on these bogus charges of being Russian agents, you know, so-called Russian agents for exercising their right to free speech, to advocate for the liberation of Africa and African people. And, you know, again, following these, you know, these attacks in, on July 29th, and you can go to our website to even just take a look at, you know, during these 9 months, right, waiting for them to, you know, actually bring whatever case they had, because they had 4 members of the movement who were listed as these unindicted co-conspirators, which meant that, you know, there was no charge, there was nobody had been arrested, but we couldn't even, you know, take this to the courts or anything. So this campaign was developed to get the word out about what happened, and to let the people know how they could get involved. And throughout this period, the Uhuru Movement experienced economic sanctions, you know, arrest of our members. Again, as I said, 4 members who were unindicted, and the removal of that petition that Comrade Matsumela just spoke of, that, you know, garnered over 130,000 signatures. And this was all wiped clean from change.org. All of this happened following these raids on July 29th. And what happened on April of 2023 was that the Uhuru 3 were indicted, and no trial date had been set yet. So we waited until January of this year, 2024, to learn that the trial was going to be set for September 3rd in Tampa, Florida. And so we have been mobilizing, you know, for this, what has been called the free speech trial of the century, which took place in a federal courthouse in Tampa, Florida, and where the U.S. government, you know, we can boldly say lied and lost, and the Uhuru Movement told the truth and won. And we can say this because, one, these 2 charges that were levied on the Uhuru 3 were carried up to 15 years sentence each. One of them was a charge of 10 years of being a so-called Russian agent, not registering as a, you know, foreign agent or, you know, with the Foreign Agent Registration Act, also known as the FAIR Act, which is something that if people are not familiar with, they should look up, or those who are familiar know that this is nothing new. And then a charge of 5 years for conspiracy to, you know, commit an offense against the U.S. government. And so the jury found the Uhuru 3 not guilty of being Russian agents. And as the chairman, as Chairman Amalia Shetela said, that the most important thing is that they were unable to convict the Uhuru 3 of working for anybody except Black people, which is what Chairman Amalia Shetela, who is an 83-year-old veteran, you know, has been clear about since the founding of his organization, the African People's Socialist Party. And for those who were able to witness this trial in Tampa, Florida, in September, they were able to see, you know, just the desperateness of the state, which had no case, and the prosecutors who deliberately misled and confused the jury into returning what we, what is understood as an inconsistent verdict. So, you know, on one hand, acquitting the Uhuru 3 of being Russian agents, while also, you know, convicting them, wrongfully convicting them of on this bogus conspiracy charge that carries a maximum sentence of 5 years. And so, you know, being charged for conspiracy of something that you did not do, but because you thought about it, right? And so the understanding of thought crime as a real threat to organizers and the ability to organize around issues that that are, you know, focused on social justice, peace, and reparations. And so it's a really important case. And the outcome of the trial, we say, is not over, because the sentencing hearing is taking place on December 16th in Tampa, Florida, at the federal courthouse. And we had a huge, wonderful show of support for the Uhuru 3 at this mobilization, and or, you know, at the trial. We had the largest courtroom in the courthouse. They had to get a larger courthouse. The courtroom was packed with supporters. If you have a chance to check out the Burning Spear newspaper, the October-November issue is just a wonderful issue that lays out all the details of the trial. We had sketch artists who were able to you know, track, you know, be able to report on what happened and just the wonderful work of what organization can do. And we want to call on the people because this is nothing without the people and to come to December 16th sentencing.
Thank you. Mutsmila, can you talk about why was the Department of Justice targeting the Uhuru movement, and what role does this play in the larger campaign of the United States government against African people's movements?
Right. I mean, I think you know, I want to thank Mwezi, and as the head of the Hands Off Uhuru campaign, she of course articulates it well and important. As noted, my organization was formed to push back the counterinsurgency that was waged against African people. And so what some people generally call COINTELPRO, we see that as the counterintelligence programs of the FBI in the 1960s and 70s. And we generally see that as only one part of a larger campaign of counterinsurgency against the Black Power movement, the African Revolution of the 1960s, as we have defined it. So without a doubt, the attack against the Uhuru movement is part of a long-standing campaign going back towards Marcus Garvey, and even arguably before that, of counterinsurgency against African revolution, African revolutionary organizations, whose main goal is to overturn the historic relationship between the United States government and the Black communities within the United States, as well as African people all around the world, by placing power into the hands of African people. We don't see it as a coincidence that the day in which they attacked us, we were launching in St. Louis a doula clinic, a doula program to place the power of control of birthing into the hands of the African community, because in St. Louis, as many children, infants die a year to fill up 15 kindergarten classrooms. That's how many Black infants die every year. So we understand that, and we had that program. We were also in the process of organizing a Black community convention to address the longstanding programs, longstanding problems caused by colonial capitalism in the African community in St. Places that same weekend, we were organizing events, affairs, public forums. So that's what it's about, you know. We understand that's the real political motivation is to stymie and stifle the forward progress of African people. I mean, the veracity of the attacks against the Uhuru movement, underscores that. But it also underscores something I think much more optimistic: the resurgence of the African Revolution, the resurgence of anti-colonial struggle. I think that's what it also represents. Not just this, it represents the growing force that we had. I mean, I think if you were one of the, of course, one of the media concerns they try to talk about is the opposition that the Uhuru movement had to NATO and the United States war against Russia in Ukraine. And we know that Africa, whether it be through its revolutionary representation in the Uhuru movement or even the neocolonial representation by way of the organization of African Unity or the African Union, Africa had abstained at the very least and outwardly opposed NATO action, and Africans are not on board. So So we see this as a bully tactic by the United States government. We also see it as a as an attempt to crush any anti-colonial opposition to U.S. foreign policy. Like I said, hopefully, in ways that you can add to that if you want.
Please, Muizy.
Yes. Well, I just want to appreciate that question because it's what it speaks to is, just building up what Comrade Matsumela raised, which I think is really important in terms of the work that the Uhuru movement has been doing. And, one thing that the chairman says, Chairman Amalia Chatela, and that is often said in the Uhuru movement is that it's not what we say, it's what we do. And, what you can see are real concrete manifestations of Black power, of power in the hands of the oppressed, of Black people who are, building, political and economic power in the hands of the working class. And in St. Louis, as was described by Comrade Matsumela, as this, really historic place, and we want to invite people to come to St. Louis to see what came under attack and to see the work that this organization is building, because as we know, even St. Louis historically, with this giant arch, right, that was seen as the gateway, to America once it had been determined that possibly, or the gateway to the West, that enough indigenous people had been, slaughtered, and genocided to where now, it could be opened up. And here we have this really profound organization that has been building, housing and clinics and as Matsumela said, a doula training program and community center and community gardens and farmers markets on the ground in the most impoverished area of the African, of the African community. And this is it's really, astronomical or, I guess hysterical if we can think about how that was a threat to the US government. And so it's this part of this long struggle to crush the Black liberation movement. And as we know, this struggle for power in the hands of the workers is no different than the struggle that we saw in the 1960s throughout the world. And so this is nothing new. And the main, and this happened in 2022, mind you, following the initiation of this aggression towards Russia, which again is nothing new as well. But because it was, Amalia Chatela was one of the first to come out and speak against, what many are coming to say now about, just the atrocities that are happening around the world and to end this war, in Ukraine and to, using Ukraine as a proxy to attack Russia. Amalia Chatela put this out there and was very clear about this. And so we understand that it was a clear attack on the right of freedom to speech. And as Amalia Chatela says, a right on the people's right to hear it. Which we've come to those conclusions now. And so this case can be seen as the, proverbial canary in a coal mine, understanding that it's a sign of what's to come. If they are able to convict us and lock us up for simply what we say alone, this is a few, this is a glimpse of to what it can look like. And so this is something that is not just to keep the Uhuru 3 out of prison, but to crush this ability for, the ruling class to be able to levy its own interests against the people in these ways that can, wipe out really profound struggles, for the people. So we just want to say that that's, important, and to say that this attack not only happened in the African community, but it also happened in the white community on the south side of St. Louis, where you see, gated communities and, where the two white organizers, Penny Hess and Jesse Neville, who lead the Uhuru movement's Solidarity Front under the leadership of the Uhuru movement, these comrades were also, came under attack. This building, this Solidarity Center that has a huge banner that says Unity Through Reparations was attacked, where you have the U.S. government saying that the Uhuru movement is sowing discord. And here is this this building that is built on the understanding of unity with the Black, struggle, with the African liberation struggle. And it's a way to also scare white people. and, you know, non-Black people into, you know, uniting with the struggle for, you know, Black power, and to understand that, you know, this long struggle is one that we can all unite with, and that will benefit all of us, to where we can live in a world where no one lives at the expense of anyone else. And so here we have this way to scare people from standing in solidarity, you know, with the oppressed. And so it's a really profound attempt by the government to crush the Black liberation movement, and to crush this front, this, you know, front of white people that was formed by the African People Solidarity Committee when the chairman founded this Solidarity Front in 1976, of which Penny Hess leads. So another over 40 plus year organization that is, you know, doing profound work, taking the struggle of Black power into the white community. So it's a really profound campaign to better understand how this attack on the Uhuru 3 is really an attack on all of us.
Thank you. So again, Moise, can you please remind us again of the what's coming up in November? What's coming up on November 2nd, and how can people support the Uhuru 3?
Uhuru, yes. So again, we just want to remind everybody, on November 2nd is the Black People's March on the White House. And so this is taking place in Washington, D.C., and a West Coast mobilization that is taking place in Los Angeles, also on November 2nd. And this, again, is sponsored by the Black is Back Coalition for Social Justice, Peace, and Reparations. We want to remind the people that this is a march that is for you. If you stand behind the Uhuru 3, if you unite with free speech, if you unite with the Uhuru 3, and you want to also see a world where, you know, we can live free and in and, you know, and in unity with each other, this is the march for you to become a part of. Go to the blackpeoplesmarch.com to sign up, to register, to let us know that you'll be there, and to also attend the virtual conference on the day of. And this is one of the things we call on the people to do, to stand behind the Uhuru 3, as well as to write character letters. You can get that information by going to Hands Off Uhuru. That's handsoffuhuru.org/letters. And on the handsoffuhuru.org website, you can find information about attending the sentencing, you know, hearing on December 16th, the letters, the march on the White House, and also to donate and to also become a member of the Hands Off Uhuru Fight Back Coalition, which is made up of over 50 organizations across the political spectrum that are uniting with Hands Off Uhuru and a list of really powerful demands. So get involved, and we hope to, you know, continue to see everybody out there in the streets, and let's get off from behind our computers and, you know, and our screens, and let's, you know, do what we know how to do as the people, which is to mobilize.
Thank you. We've been talking today with Moise Odom, the Uhuru campaign chair, and Matsumela Odom, the international president of the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement. Moise and Matsumela, thank you so much for joining us today on KBOO Community Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you, Emma, and thank you to your listeners.
Uhuru.
Uhuru. You know.